Right, good morning, everybody. You know, some of my best Bible studies, and I've mentioned this before, are when somebody asks me a question and I haven't got a clue what the answer is. Now, just to give you a bit of background, sometimes Jan attends a church up near where we are, and sometimes I go along with her. And they want me to do a talk on the tabernacle on the 6th of April. So we had one of the pastors of this church. He came around for a cup of tea and a bicky just to talk about it. And, you know, we talked about it. And at the end of the evening, he asked me a question. And he said, why is the entrance to the tabernacle and the temple to the east? And I fluffed around a bit, and I said, well, I haven't got a clue. So this is why I did a bit of a Bible study on this, and we'll see where we go. So what I did first of all was, I said, well, about 100 brains are better than one. So I put it on Facebook, because most of my friends on Facebook, they're either predominantly either Christians or Jewish, so they would understand. So I basically said, I haven't got a clue, any ideas? And I got a bit of feedback, yeah? And there was one, a friend of mine, and she said, something to do with the sun rising. And then Jackie said, I vaguely recall hearing some teacher somewhere, Dr. Ernest Martin possibly, saying that Jesus will be returning to earth coming from the east. I just believed this. And then I chipped in. I said, it could be something to do with the sun rising. The Hebrew for east, Mizrach, literally means the rising sun. The rising. And I do, too, remember Ernest Martin mentioning that the Messiah would come from Bozrah in the east. That's where Petra is today. Then Christopher, he says, the reference from Obadiah. And I chipped in again. I said, yes, Obadiah, pretty sure you're right. Also, the tribe of Judah was camped to the east, and the sacrifice was to the north of the altar. And then John, more recent friend. There are plenty of possibilities, but perhaps the simplest is that the image or type of the glory of God is ushered in from the east as sunrise banishes the darkness. Now, that was a good one. And Christopher, again, the gate of the future temple was to be to the east, where the Mount of Olives stands, the location of the promised return. Also, with the gate to the east, one does not face the rising sun when walking to the altar. The altar, or the entry to the ark, is illuminated by the rising sun. And then Candace says, graves are almost always, as far as I know, facing east, waiting for Christ's return. And then Jeff said the 12 tribes were arranged according to the zodiac. So that's a bit of an input from Facebook. And so let's have a look at the Bible, which is a bit more important than Facebook. But there were one or two good comments there. Now, first of all, the entrance to the tabernacle, or the courtyard, was always to the east. And I will, if you would like to turn to Exodus 27, verse 13, yeah. On the east end, towards the sunrise, and that's significant, I'll go into that later, the courtyard should also be 50 cubits wide. It says, for the entrance to the courtyard. It says in these two verses that the entrance to the courtyard is to the east, towards the sunrise. The entrance to the tabernacle itself was also to the east, lining up with the entrance to the courtyard. Now, Exodus 26, verse 22, makes six frames for the far end, that is the west end, of the tabernacle, and make two frames for the corner at the far end. At these two corners, they must be double from the bottom all the way to the top and fitted into a single ring both shall be like that. And then, basically, it doesn't really mention the entrance, but it says the other end is to the west, so it's pretty obvious that the entrance is to the east, the same as that. Now, so we got the tabernacle, we've got the tabernacle itself facing east, we got the courtyard, the gate of the courtyard is also facing east. And that, after that, if you want to turn to Numbers 3 verse 38, Moses and Aaron and his sons were to camp to the east of the tabernacle towards the sunrise in front of the tent of meeting, i.e. the ark. They were responsible for the care of the sanctuary on behalf of the Israelites. Anyone else who approached the sanctuary was to be put to death. So you've got the tabernacle, you've got the courtyard, and then directly facing them, you've got the priests. So they're protecting the tabernacle. And then outside them, Numbers 2 verse 3, on the east, towards the sunrise, the divisions of the camp of Judah are to encamp under their standard. So you've got the priests, and then you've got the tribe of Judah. And anybody from the tribe of Judah you can think of who might be coming into the temple or tabernacle later. Now the offerings were sacrificed to the north of the altar. Leviticus 1 verse 1. The Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting. He said, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when anyone among you brings an offering to the Lord, bring as an offering an animal from either the herd or the flock. If the offering is a burnt offering from the verse 10, if the offering is a burnt offering from the flock, from either the sheep or the goats, you are to offer a male without defect. You are to slaughter it at the north side of the altar." So everything faces east, and the sacrifice is to the north of the altar. Now, if you think about it, when Jesus came into Jerusalem for the last time, he came from the Mount of Olives, and he came from the east. This was the first time he came. On his donkey, came down. And then, of course, later on he was arrested, and he was finally crucified on a point which was almost certainly where there's an old Arab bus station to the north of Damascus Gate. That is part of Mount Moriah, to the north of the altar of the temple. And when he comes back this the second time, he will be coming also on top of the Mount of Olives, and he will be going towards the temple from the east in that direction. So if you would like to turn to Isaiah 63 verse 1, there's a couple of scriptures I'd like to read. Who is this coming from Edom, from Bozra or Botsra, which means a sheepfold, by the way, and that's where Petra is today, with his garments stained crimson? Who is this, robed in splendor, striding forward in the greatness of his strength? It is I, proclaiming victory, mighty to save. Why are your garments red, like those of one treading the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone. From the nations, no one was with me. I trampled them in my anger and trod them down in my wrath. Their blood spattered my garments, and I stained all my clothing. It was for me the day of vengeance, the year for me to redeem had come. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was appalled that no one gave support. So my own arm achieved salvation for me, and my own wrath sustained me. I trampled the nations in my anger, and in my wrath I made them drunk and poured their blood on the ground. Now if you'd like to turn to Joel 3 verse 1, the behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Now, just to give a description of the area, first of all, it's to the north of the altar. Secondly, you've got a bowl in hills. On the east, you've got the Mount of Olives. And if you go a little bit further to the northwest, you've got Mount Scopus. And then a little bit further, you've got what in the Bible is called Knob, which nowadays is called French Hill. If you go over Knob, that's the first sign of Jerusalem you see from the north. So it's a kind of, and so it's a bowl. The armies meet at Armageddon, and then they come into this bowl. And this is where Jesus will meet the armies. And what happens after this shallow bowl is this great steep, and it's called the Wadi Jos. It used to be called the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Wadi Jos. But then you've got the Wadi Kidron, the Valley of Kidron, which is a very steep valley, with steep sides, and it goes down in the direction of the Dead Sea. And it is just like a wine press. You stamp on grapes, the blood goes down the... Well, it's not pretty, but that's basically what's going to happen. Jesus meets the army to the north of Jerusalem in Wadi Jos, stamps on them, the blood goes down to the Dead Sea. And just going back a bit to Genesis 22, verse 1. Excellent. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham," and "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." So Abraham basically sacrificed Isaac on the Mount, what is now Mount Moriah, which would have been slightly to the north of where the temple is. And that is the mountain, of course, where the temple was built. So 2 Chronicles 3, verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. We have the tabernacle where everything is facing east, and the sacrifice to the north of the altar. And then we had King Solomon built the temple, also lining up with the doors to the east, and where the sacrifices were also to the north of the altar. Jesus was arrested, and he was brought in from the east, and he was sacrificed to the north of the altar. And when he comes again, he will be coming from the east, and he will be meeting the armies in Wadi Jos, in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, to the north of the altar. But there is also another aspect to this. There are two words for east in Hebrew. The first word is Mekedem, which also means from before or from the beginning. And that has led to a very classic mistranslation of the Bible. Now, if you want to turn to Genesis 2, verse 8. "Now the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." Now the word translated eastward is Mekedem, which in earlier Bibles, like the Wycliffe Bible, and I will quote the Wycliffe Bible, which is 1383, "Forsooth, the Lord God planted at the beginning a paradise of liking, wherein he set it man whom he had found. whom he had formed. And then Tyndale came along, about 1530, and he said, the Lord God also planted a garden Eden from the beginning. And there he set man whom he had formed. And then in the Bishop's Bible, it went back to being east to the east, and then the King James picked that up. But originally, what it meant was God planted a garden beforehand, and then he put the man in it. So as I say, you got the two words. You've got Mikedem, which means from before, and you've got Mizrach, also meaning east, which means from the rising. So basically, you can pick in Hebrew thought, the east is the past, basically, the night. And then Jesus comes from there and goes towards the west. The east is the past, and the west is the future. And so, I'm sure there is a great deal more that one can say on this subject, but that's just a little bit, and that's what you can. And that's why I like it when people ask me a question, and I haven't got a clue what the answer is, because I'm always saying I haven't got a clue, and I will go and study it. So that's it really. And it tied in very, very nicely with the theme, the first theme of the service, and the the bread and the wine, and the sacrifice of Jesus, and tied in very well.